Hello and welcome to this week's edition of Dual Candle Radio with Lenora Sarver. Got another great show? Stay tuned in. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the show. Hope everyone's well. Currently here in Northeast Ohio, we've had quite a few tornadoes touch the ground this evening. We'll get the actual report of how many we have probably the next couple days once they look over all their data and figure out what happened. I was at work whenever I heard the train, and that's usually what you hear whenever a tornado is heading your way, is a train. And there's not any train tracks close enough to where I work. So, yeah. And what you do, for those of you who are seasoned in the Lord, you know what to do. You pull your prayers out. You cancel that storm. And that's what I did on one of my breaks. That just goes to show, serving God doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at, oh, well, I'm super busy. I got all this stuff to do. You're serving God and doing His work while you're going throughout life. So I'm driving through flooding. I'm driving through high winds. You know, we're ducking and dodging tornadoes because, hey, that's the way things are. Either way, God made a way, and I'm still recording. Amen. So just to give you a real heads up, next week, we'll get the show done sometime before Saturday. And that way we'll broaden things a bit to where situations and principalities don't know when to attack. Amen. Gonna get my notes together. Be right back. Let's go ahead and do a quick Israel update. We've got, I tell you what, that place is busy. Very busy. And you can't take your eyes off of Israel, especially if you're following Israel, if you're advocating, if you're praying for them, and if you're just trying to keep up with what's going on. You cannot take your eyes off of Israel right now and expect to know what's going on. There's so much going on, and I understand the method. It's a method of madness to where we keep everybody so busy trying to dot their I's and cross their T's and make sure they're doing all this extra stuff for not getting fact-checked or etc. And it's really ridiculous. How about we fact-check the governments? But I guess that's not the thing to do, huh? Either way, we'll go over some news stories here. And it's kind of frustrating because everyone has something to say, but nothing to do. Everybody wants a ceasefire. And, you know, that is a natural thing. Wanting a ceasefire, wanting an end to the war, an end to the killings. But if they were to ceasefire right now, from speaking with God, from praying, that would leave them in an extremely vulnerable state. God knows it. They know it. But the rest of the world, are they ignoring it? Or are they leaving the details aside, just focusing on one thing? How about we, as humans, people with hearts throughout the world, why don't we pull together and try to help them find the hostages? You know, what's really heart-crushing is we're talking about everything else. We're talking about, well, I agree with a ceasefire, or I agree with aid, or I agree with helping Gaza, I agree with etc. But when do we agree on coming together as the world and finding these hostages? Do you understand? We've had movements for months through a variety of places. trying to get the message across. Bring them home now. It can't be ignored anymore. If we're going to pull together, and God bless every one of you who's pulled together and brought aid, who is willing to step up and assist, but how about we pull together and bring these hostages home? This doesn't need to be on the back burner. Yes, we know Hamas needs to be taken out. That's going to happen. But what we really need, right this very second, is those hostages coming home and starting the healing process. I've had people actually come to me in my regular life telling me, well, you need to just give up on that. It's a losing cause. No. When God assigns you to a task, you stay the course no matter how bad it hurts, how inconvenienced you are, if that, or how tired, because it's been long and drawn out. And that's what the Jewish people need right now, is someone to step up and say, I am still here. I am not going anywhere until it's over, until it's finished. So many are so quick to sweep everything under the rug, but if it was their own home, their own family, it would be different. I am appalled on how the world is treating the Jewish people. And let me tell you something. God is a watcher. He is an observer. And I know many of you are thinking right now, well, I am in this situation. This is my family that I'm waiting to come home. I need him to stop watching and start working. Let me tell you something. He's watching and he's working. And when it comes time, a lot will be wiped out. Because he remembers, even when it's been so long to where those who are involved forget, if you can. He remembers, and he will not rest until judgment has come. Folks, I have never seen a race of people have so much trouble in an area that they should not. They are living, breathing human beings that need assistance, not torn apart with miscellaneous details. There's a story that I had saved, and I know Israel already knows this. I know they do. Because they're scouring all the media worldwide. Yeah. For anti-Semitism. And I tell you what, I'm sure those logbooks, or however they maintain those data, are extensive. But basically, we have a news story. Wall Street Journal, published March 14th, 2024. And the title is, Schumer Calls for End of Netanyahu-Led Government in Israel. Then it goes on to say here, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer said Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has lost his way and called for new elections aimed at choosing a new government, a sign of growing U.S. pressure on Israel over the war in Gaza. Says Netanyahu is allowing his political survival to take precedence over the best interest of Israel, the New York Democrat said in a speech on the Senate floor Thursday. Schumer, the highest-ranking Jewish elected official in the U.S. government, said Israel cannot hope to succeed as a pariah opposed by the rest of the world. Okay, bottom line. When I was praying over this, now is not the time to tear apart the government. That will weaken the country. How are they supposed to elect a new leader when they're busy trying to survive? Do you think the bombings and the rockets have stopped and now they're supposed to elect someone else? I'll have you know that before I got shadow banned on one of my main Facebook profiles, I was actually in touch with Netanyahu. It could have been that, could have been him, or it could have been one of his AI setups. But I told him, I said, God is going to bring you back. You're going to get the position. So therefore, God, who raises up kings and sets them down, has who he wants in leadership. Any talk like this that would eventually weaken and tear down what is noted as a strong government is hoping for this weakness for a greater submittance, when that's not the call. And that's what I hear God say. Folks, to be honest, this is my personal opinion. We can't even get our own government straight, let alone tell somebody else how to do it. Okay? Just keeping it real. Netanyahu has got to make strong, challenging, heart-wrenching decisions. And I know a lot of the people there are angry, but then also a lot of the people there could be looking at me like, you know, be quiet. You don't even live here. No, I don't live there. But I am standing in prayer for you. I am speaking with God on your behalf, trying to do whatever I can from this area. Personally, instead of telling someone how to run their government, how about we initiate a massive search as an entire world with the countries pulling together and find these hostages? And then reassess what we are thinking, what the next move is, because I promise you now, we get those hostages home, we will see a game changer. There will still be the Hamas issue, but at least they can reassess and strategize once the hostages are home. But it also says in this article, there's a little paragraph right under his picture up top. And it's interesting because, you know, Jewish people, it says right here, elected in by Jewish people. So surprising. But what it says right here, it says Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer called for Israeli elections to end the current government led by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, emphasizing a two-state solution to reach peace. Okay, if they haven't come to a two-state solution before war, it's not a very probable idea in war. Because our focus is in all the wrong areas. Our focus needs to be getting the hostages home and then worrying about everything else. It's more than just strategy. It's downright, if it was your family, you would have been on this yesterday. But people don't see things like that. And I don't understand why. Because you best believe if it was my kids, I'd be stopping at nothing. And then we have a Vox article. It was published March 14th, 2024. It says how Biden could dial up the pressure on Israel if he really wanted to. Well, there's a reason why Biden isn't. I would like to say he has a, you know, somewhat greater understanding than a lot of the other naysayers. It says, since the war in Gaza began in October, the Biden administration has mostly pursued what's been called a bear hug strategy when it comes to Israel, avoiding public criticism and upholding the country's right to defend itself. This is partly out of genuine support for Israel following Hamas's October 7th attacks, and also to preserve the ability to exert some influence over the Israeli policy behind the scenes. But for weeks now, the secondhand reported anecdotes, anonymous quotes, and occasional public statements President Biden and his top officials have expressed mounting frustration over the Israeli government's disregard for the high number of civilian casualties in Gaza, from the country's military strikes, its unwillingness to allow in more aid as the humanitarian crisis spirals, and its rejection of U.S. proposed models for Gaza's post-war governance. Here's the thing. No one was concerned on how many people died on October 7th, apparently. No one seems concerned that there's still hostages that have to be brought home. I don't make the laws, but if it was my kids, I would be moving forward in any direction I can until it was done. But then we have what's so interesting about this? And I'm trying to figure out a good way to word this, is they're trying to portray that Israel is stopping aid. I don't see that. And I've prayed about this. I'm like, okay, is this really happening, Lord? You know, and I really feel like this would be westernized versus actual truth. Because in actuality, it should be Hamas getting the aid in there. The Palestinian people who are protesting all over the world should be working to get aid in there, and not these other countries coming to pick up the slack in all actuality. But where is it? Everyone else is doing the work that Hamas should be doing. And the fact that he's not doing it, no one's saying anything. That baffles me. Because this is the responsibility. This was his people. He has allowed his people to die like this. Not Israel. So here we have another gaslighting attempt to change the narrative and make Israel the bad guy. God sees. He sees it all. And he's going to handle it with one sweeping motion. Rest assured. And it goes on to say, according to reports, the killing of over 100 Gazans outside an aid convoy last month was a turning point in the administration's views of the conflict, crystallizing frustrations that had already been building. In his State of the Union address on March 7th, Biden called on Israel to do its part to protect civilians and allow more humanitarian aid. And in an unfortunately phrased hot mic moment afterward, said that he and Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu need to have a come to Jesus meeting. All right. Here's the deal. A lot of the Jewish people are still awaiting their Messiah. They don't believe Jesus is the Messiah. Now, they still honor and respect those who have that faith. And I know, was it a couple years ago or was it last year? I can't remember exactly, but I think it was a couple years ago when Benjamin Netanyahu was actually moving forward to make sure that the Christians were being protected. Because they were facing a lot of harassment. Basically, if they ask you, do you follow the Oral Torah? And you say no. Case closed. Conversation over. That's the deal. So to say that he needs to come to Jesus, Biden, do you know Jesus? I mean, we can arrange to where you can pray and he can be your Lord and Savior. I mean, you know, we can work that out. But telling Netanyahu that, to be honest, despite that truth right there, they are very dedicated in serving Hashem. Very dedicated. This is the apple of God's eye that we're speaking about here. And of course, he is going to raise people up and assign them the task to be watchmen, to look out after, to prophesy over his people in this great time of need. God is not a God who is slack like man. He upholds what is written. Either way, like I knew before, this is, you know, not over yet. We have a little ways to go. And it's not time to slack or think you can back off of prayer. This is a very delicate situation. So just know, I am standing in with you. By now, you know, I've expressed ways to contact me. And if you need anything else, you know, just message me, whatever. We'll take it to God. We can see what we can do. That's not an issue. But folks, we really need to reassess our priorities here. And I encourage the listener, not only lift Israel up in prayer and pray without ceasing, let's pull together and pray for a circumstance to bring these hostages home. Let this be a worldwide priority. Gonna take a quick break. Be right back. Resurrection biology. What comes to mind when you think about that? What should come to mind is things are no longer extinct. Basically, this is actually an old news story. I've been wanting to cover it for quite some time now, and I figure, why not tonight? But one of the stories I had saved, it was from CNN, and it was published December 26, 2023. And the name of the story is Why Resurrection Biology is Gaining Traction Around the World. One of the things I will say is I'm not a scientist. I'm not a meteorologist. I really don't feel like I'm an expert in any of these areas. What I am is overly opinionated. And I have quite a few years of seasoned experience in that. Yay. But the bottom line is, you know, I'm not even a journalist. You know, I stay up on the news because I know what God is telling me, you know, in through prayer, prophecy-wise. And I look to see what is coming to pass as he tells me. But in the process of all this, I've always marveled at science and all the new things that they're bringing forth. I've had a lot of visions of, I'll put it like, scientific things. And I pray over this to see what God says. And one of the things that God was telling me about resurrecting extinct things is you will also be resurrecting viruses that have been tucked away. There is a possibility. So, that's just what I heard in prayer. So you can take my non-expertise, overly opinionated, whatever. It's just a podcast that I come up with every week. Yada, yada. But what's so interesting in this is we've had new things come to the forefront just the past 4 days. And I'll cover that in just a minute. But it talks about resurrection biology attempting to bring strings of molecules and more complex organisms back to life is gaining traction in labs around the world. The work is a far cry from genetically engineered dinosaurs that escape in the blockbuster movie Jurassic Park. Although, for some scientists, the ultimate goal is de-extinction and resurrecting animals and plants that have been lost. Other researchers are looking to the past for new sources of drugs or to sound an alarm about the possibility of long-dormant pathogens. The field of study is also about recreating elements of human history in an attempt to better understand how our ancestors might have lived and died. Now, I can see where that particular part would be very beneficial, especially everything we have going on with the climate, because, you know, just the kids in the school right now, in the school system, who are hearing about climate change and they see everything going on, they know it's not normal. And all they can do is wonder, are we next on the list to be extinct? And then the parents have to reassure them, we're going to be okay. You know, whatever belief system they have that's in place within their households that bring calm and peace, whether it be long-term or temporary, they portray that to try to calm the children, let them know that everything's okay, you're at home, you're fine, you're safe, etc. But you really can't blame the kids for thinking this. But it's good in this essence to kind of get more answers on where this world is heading, what we need to do to try to pull the reins if possible, or are we just stuck waiting for everything to fall out? And nobody wants to go with that. It says, here are four fascinating research projects in the emerging field that launched or made significant progress in 2023. Reviving zombie viruses. Folks. Warmer temperatures in the Arctic are thawing the region's permafrost, a frozen layer of soil beneath the ground, and potentially stirring viruses that, after lying dormant for tens of thousands of years, could endanger animal and human health. Then we have a professor of medicine and genomics who is seeking to better understand the risk posed by what he describes as zombie viruses by resurrecting viruses from Earth samples from Siberia. Ugh. Yeah, that's scary. And then all the unrest that we have across the planet. What you think is contained is one storm or catastrophic event to undo whatever you think is contained. Look at the sand dunes in California. They spent, what, $600,000 or whatever? Might have been more, who knows? Just to have them washed away in a couple days. So, investing in this sort of stuff is very risky right now. You're wasting your money when the planet is in unrest as we speak. Says the individual managed to revive a virus in 2014 that he and his team isolated from the permafrost, making it infectious for the first time in 30,000 years by inserting it into cultured cells. In his latest research, published in February, Clavery and his team isolated several strains of ancient virus from multiple samples of Earth, representing five new families of viruses. For safety, he had chosen to study a virus that could only target single-celled amoebas, not animals or humans. And then it shows a picture of a worm that has been revived after 46,000 years in the Siberian permafrost. Says the oldest was nearly 48,500 years old, based on radiocarbon dating of the soil, and came from a sample of Earth taken from an underground lake 52 feet 16 meters below the surface. The youngest samples found in the stomach contents and coat of a woolly mammoth remains were 27,000 years old. The amoeba infecting viruses are still infectious after so long is a signal of a serious potential public health threat. We view these amoeba infecting viruses as surrogates for all other possible viruses that might be in the permafrost. Our reasoning is that if the amoeba viruses are still alive, there is no reason why the other viruses will not still be alive as well and capable of infecting their own host. Then it goes on to hunt for new antibiotics goes back to the Ice Age. For bioengineering pioneer, I'll go ahead and say Caesar, presidential assistant professor at the University of Pennsylvania, the past is a source of opportunity that has opened up a new front in the fight against drug-resistant superbugs. You know, as I read this, I keep getting memories of dome living, like the visions I had before. Like, we couldn't trust the air. We had to travel through and dwell in domes that were climate controlled. Oxygen was, you know, I want to say synthetic. But we had gotten to the point to where life on the planet was very challenging, and to preserve the life, we had to go under dome living. Now, those are just visions. You know who I am, and you can take it or leave it. It's entirely up to you. But with my track record, things have been looking pretty good. And I don't think a whole lot of people can actually say that, but it's not an egotistical thing to say. It's, I know my God. I know what he's saying. And the more I see what he's saying start to happen, the closer and more I trust him and I draw into him. To where those who are led by pride or ego would say, well, look at me. Well, it's not about that. It's about getting a message out to humanity, one way or another, from what God needs you to do from one point to the next. And if you're open, then, and you use that information, it'll be the best wisdom you'll ever come across, because it's from the Creator. So you can handle those facts. But yet, they're going and they're doing all this research with the potential of digging things up that they didn't know how to contain it at that time in history. Yes, we have quite a bit of, access to many things that we have come up, we have evolved quite a bit. But the key is, and this is what God was kind of portraying to me whenever I was praying over this, he says, the key is, do not awaken something that you don't know if you can contain. God is constantly cleaning up man's messes. And he's warning you now before you get into a bigger one. Because he's already said about a month ago, we're going to have quite a bit of new viruses, illnesses, sicknesses, etc. on the rise. And at that time, it was because of how we were handling cleanups and stuff after storms. And then we have summer coming up, and that's really going to bake things and bring things to life. So we need to be careful. If we're worried about extinction, just per se, then let us be careful now. And none of this is so important that we can't stop a second and realize, hey, what if you come across something bigger than what we can handle? And that's a valid point. That's something I could not look at God and say, okay, that's irrelevant, because it's not. We look at what COVID did to the world and how fast it spread globally. We're looking at, what, 24, 48 hours? I think they were talking about COVID in China, November 2019. It might have been earlier. And nobody paid it any attention because, how's it going to travel across the world that fast? Oh, yeah. Well, it did. And I think by March, we were in lockdown for about a month. Unless you were essential and you had your little piece of paper. And I was essential, so I was still working. I was still doing what I had to do, but it had to be limited because you could only get the basics, or else you had to do delivery, and that's what I was over. And you look at November, December, January, February, March. That's 5 months. And look how far it got out of hand. So, what I would encourage these people who are doing, if by chance you listen, is that you think about this as you're doing your research. Take the utmost care in handling. Because all it takes is one slip up, one misstep, and then here we are all over again. The world being made to suffer for carelessness. Let's not be those people. Let's not be that guy or that girl. I encourage you. So, with that said, just look up to heaven and let God lead you. Because that's where the wisdom is. It's not always in a test tube. Take a quick break. Be right back. Got about 15 or so minutes left of the show. Last Saturday, it was really late, probably around 12, and I heard some things coming through in prayer. One of them was for King Charles, and basically, we're going to need to keep him in prayer. As of right now, they're not planning for change. May not be ready for change, but change is coming. And that's just how I'm going to leave that. So definitely keep him in prayers. I know he's been diagnosed with cancer. But I knew years ago, whenever Queen Elizabeth had passed, that this could possibly be a short reign. Now, he finally made it. But what the thing that God was telling me is it will be difficult at this time to find another to reign as Queen Elizabeth did. She was an amazing woman. She held everything down and did very well and remained very consistent, regardless of the ups and the downs, of the things that were crushing her heart. She still took a stand and handled the business, handled the family matters. And I know, especially many of you in that country, you wish you could just see her one more time. You wish you could just hear her wisdom one more time. Always be ready. That is the message. Always be ready for change, whether if it's potential or unavoidable. It's always good to have strategies of action to put in place whenever things don't turn out like they should, for example. So I wanted to get that out there. Now, years ago, I quit putting time frames on things. None of my time frames ever worked out, so I quit doing it because I felt like I was putting limits on God, and he just wasn't honoring them. And we can't put limits on God. We have to take God out of the box and embrace God as he is, just as he embraces us as we are in the beginning. He's never stopped loving us. So let's turn our eyes, our ways, our mind up to the heavens and take on the same. Then there's another message coming through, and what's so challenging about this one is I did not get clear detail, so I have to keep praying. I'm okay to speak about it, but I heard EU. There's an uproar, uprising coming. So I'm going to pray some more about that and see what all God says so I can get some more detail there. But other than that, you know, I'm standing in prayer and I'm waiting to see what else he has to say there. You know, in the meantime, there was another message that I wanted to get out. And I noticed doing the death scroll through the videos and the reels and stuff, looking for conspiracy theories to debunk or research and stuff like that, I noticed a lot of the newer ministers are starting to really catch a case on spiritual warfare. And I'd like to say, you're going to have your days. You're going to have spiritual warfare. With that spiritual warfare, let it be a sign that what you are getting ready to do for God is going to be amazing. Now, just this morning, I didn't even get out of bed. Good. And God says, it's going to be a day. So get ready. And just know, you're going to make it through. But you can't let anxiety, you can't let worry, and you can't let frustration get the hold of you. So I ask God to enclose me, to wrap me in his love as a shield and barrier. And I made it through. But I knew it's because I will be speaking out for God tonight. And that's the reason. And just expect everything to turn upside down. Everything to mess up. I mean, just trying to get back to the studio. I'm driving through, you know, tornado warnings and flooding and winds and all kinds of stuff. But God got me here. And we got the show done. Amen. But that's the thing. You have to stay steadfast. Sometimes you have to dig in your heels and become unmovable, taking a last man standing mentality and getting the job done. So don't despise when this happens. It is a sign. You know, the enemy or the thief doesn't break into an empty house. He breaks into where he thinks the treasure is. So, keep that in mind. This is going to happen. And a lot of ministers fall by the wayside because things get too much. It gets out of hand. And I tell you, that devil will sift you and have you balancing 50 plates at the same time. But whenever you step into God, whenever you operate from His Spirit, you begin to see a different strength. You will run and not grow weary. And when you should be weak, you are rising up with a new strength. Press in, because that's where the miracles begin. You will start seeing different abilities, different ways of getting things done, because you were pushed out of your comfort zone. If everything was perfect, would we reach up to heaven? That's why we are kept in a certain circumstance, no matter who the listener is. Because it's an opportunity to reach out to God, realize how much we need Him, and how we cannot perform His work without Him. He has got to be the driving force within you. And it's going to take some getting, you know, getting beat up, getting persecuted, and a multiple of other things. But this is why we set our faces as a flint. Single sight on God. Putting our hands to the plow and not looking back to glorify anything because we thought it was better than our current circumstance. God wouldn't have delivered you if it was. But with that, those are the messages that I had for the people. Just, you know, hang in there. I know things are rough. They get rough for me too. I've been doing this for 14 years. It gets unbearable. But you have got to tap into the warrior that God carved you out to be. And you will get it done. You look all throughout Scripture. Every great move was not without resistance. And fear is not without courage, but within its presence. Understand this. And the circumstances are going to unveil that within you. But without the circumstances, you may stay in stagnation or on your plateau, but that's not where God's going to leave you. He doesn't want you getting comfortable. He wants you ready for the challenge. 24/7, 365. But yet, what is God's messages for those who wish to pursue resurrection? Now we know that is not a biblical thing, at least not in these means. But then I was reading in Job, and it says, in chapter 11, verse 7, it says, "Can you discover the depths of God? Can you discover the limits of the Almighty?" No. Not unless it smacks you in the face. Not unless you hit a brick wall. But this is what a lot of our science is doing at this moment. They're trying to uncover the deep things that God has had covered, the silent things that have been tucked away, looking for answers. But let's hope it is not with a reckless way, because there is great consequences with that. I cannot stress that enough. And what's interesting is, God is very observant. He understands where man goes wrong. He also understands how man goes right. But there are so many people who reject him, and they're stuck going wrong. Even Ephesians chapter 3, verse 9, it says, "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things." And you have to wonder, why did God hide things? Why did God put things away and left it mysterious? It's almost like we're going to get into grandma's cookie jar whether we like it or not. You know, just because it's mysterious, we want to know. We're curious people. But then there's some things that God has hidden away for a reason. You would think that mankind would just trust that. But no. Not if we feel we can find answers to today's problems and the next generation's solutions. Not if we feel there's something to gain from it. But yet, whenever I speak about mysteries here, they actually pertain to kingdom things. But yet, praying over this, I was able to derive for these people. Just to let you know, God has things hidden for a reason. But and then we have Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. It says, "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he proposed in him." But yet, the goal and the real mystery, the goal would be to trust God. The real mystery is why we haven't. Why? And then I look back on my own life. You know, I received salvation at the age of 14. And then I backslid. I wasn't ready to serve God yet. I tried everything else thinking I could fix my life. Just to circle back around to Yeshua. Because nothing else worked. And then finally I said, okay, fine. I'll follow you. It was in a very challenging moment. But it's the same challenging moment that every single soul on this earth endures. Whenever they come to the end of themselves. Whenever they come to the point where nothing else they can call out to at this very moment to save them from a catastrophic and horrible challenging event. And he answered. And I hope he answers for you. Think about that. Why is it so mysterious for you to avoid God and not just listen and take and go with what he's already ordained and put in place? Is it too much knowledge? Do you feel like, you know, you just remove God from the equation and everything's going to be fine and just do things your way and he'll honor it? Folks, please know now. He is not a God where we go and we use our free will and we think, oh, well, this is a great idea. I'm going to go out and do this. But, I didn't ask God first. When we come to him, it is our call to submit to his will over our lives because his will is way better than anything we could pull together. But who is trusting that? And that's what I encourage you to do today. Every day, actually. Seek his will before your move. Seek his will before your decision. Seek his will before you do anything. This way you know you have the covering. This way you know he is with you. this way, it's a can't fail scenario unless God has placed a certain amount of failure to enlighten you with more wisdom in the process. Because when you're a believer, failure is not the same. It's a redirection. It's a chance for wisdom to strengthen you and build on a stronger mentality only found through God. Press in. And as always, it is a blessing to come to your homes every week with some sort of message. If you enjoy what I'm doing here, you can go to Spotify, click like, 5-star, follow, and be notified as the shows are coming out. For all of you, especially in Northeast Ohio, stay safe. I'm watching multi-funnel tornadoes now on the news. I've actually had dreams about that. So here we go. Something else coming to pass. Either way, stay safe, stay weather aware, and keep God first. You cannot go wrong. See y'all next week. Lord willing, have a great night. God bless you.